This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I want to remind you all.
This is the Rich Eisen Show with guest host Susie Schuster.
And one last thing on Rogers while I'm just on a roll here.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I hope he's coming back. I heard, you know, overheard him say that he told Derwin James, give me a few weeks.
Earlier on the show, senior writer for The Athletic, Joe Vardon. Fox Sports college football insider Bruce Feldman. Coming up, Pro Football Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Susie Schuster.
Hi, everybody. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show underway. Susie Schuster here with you while Rich is in Germany and back-to-back games, enjoying the sights and sounds of Berlin with Oleg. His biking compadre.
Shout out to our boy Oleg.
Things I don't say all the time.
Amazing.
Rich is hanging out with Oleg
that
tonight.
That guy's killing it.
Crushing it. Rich had an incredible time biking around Berlin. What a spectacular city it is with just great friendly people. If you missed any of this show, you can watch it on the Rich Eisen Show YouTube or Roku will repeat any moment now. Joe Vardon from The Athletic, I thought was great. Bruce Feldman is always fantastic. Yeah. And I was able to share my thoughts on Caleb Williams. Marshall Faulk will join us momentarily. Overreaction Monday's out. You can check that out as well as right. What the Football with Amy Trask. And we'd recorded that yesterday. And just lots to talk about as we approach this mid part of the year of the season for the National Football League. We will talk about that momentarily with Marshall Faulk. But TJ, I mean, what are your thoughts as we approach the mid-mark?
On the season?
Hmm.
You know, I think things are probably going to play out the way that we kind of thought they were. A lot of ups and downs for the Chiefs, right? But to me, Chris and Mike, I know you're kind of over the Chiefs, but to me, this entire season is just going to keep running through that team as long as Patrick Mahomes is playing. So bottom line is, if you're going to hoist up the Lombardi, you got to go through Kansas City.
Yeah, I kind of said this on the preview podcast that Rich and I did of Overreaction, where I thought 10 playoff teams would be the same. Mm-hmm. So only four new spots. Usually in the NFL, the turnover is 50%. Usually you get about, you know, 6, 7, 8 new playoff teams each year. But this year it just seemed like, excuse me.
Are you choking on a croissant that I brought in?
I had an almond croissant in the
break. So did I. This is facts.
Me and Del Tufo snacks. Oh, my gosh.
We did.
It just seems like this year the top teams improved, and it didn't seem like there was going to be much turnover at the top. And at the halfway point, I'm a little worried isn't the right word because they will be awesome matchups. I'm just thinking if we're going to have the same final eight teams kind of in the divisional round, and we're going to have the same final four teams, and then when it all comes down to it, we're just going to have the Chiefs and Eagles again in the Super Bowl. Because it's kind of looking that way right now, you know. Can Baltimore sneak in there? They've been kind of a surprise.
They've been playing great.
Seems like people aren't really talking about them because we're not really watching a lot of their games. They really haven't been in primetime yet. Their home games have been massive blowouts. Blowing out Detroit, blowing out Seattle, which we thought, you know, might have been kind of contenders in the NFC. But I just think that, you know, they're kind of fun stories. San Francisco's a little bit down right now. While they get healthy, Dallas, kind of the same issues have been plaguing them that have, you know, that has over the recent years. It just seems like we're on a Chiefs-Eagles collision course again. And I'm cool with it. That was a really fun game last year. A rematch would be awesome. Can Philly get over the hump? Can Jalen Hurts, you know, take his team and hoist that trophy? But it just kind of feels like that's where we're headed right now.
Yeah, no kidding. I have to say this before I forget. I was just reacting to something from Aaron Rodgers yesterday. Is there anything more Aaron Rodgersian than referring to a fortnight? How many people had to look up Fortnite, which is, of course, 2 weeks in Old English? But can I ask you a question?
Is it a sentence?
Yeah, he said.
Well, because after the game, you know, on Monday, there was the clip that we played because he was talking to Derwin James, and he was like, Derwin James is like, oh, hey, you know, when are we going to see you out there? He was like, give it a few weeks. And then he was on Pat yesterday and was like, okay, look, you know, it's not really going to be a few weeks, but maybe a few fortnights I'll be out there. And it's like, come on, bro.
Braveheart.
Like, what are we doing?
But it was just so him. It was just so him.
It's
he can't just say I'll be
it's
back
also
in a couple weeks.
He's not playing this year. Like, the sooner people kind of wake up to that idea.
Do you want to make a bet? But here's the problem. He'll
all
only play if there's something to play
all
for.
Of this, there won't be.
Right.
Have you seen the Jets play offense? How do they win games? They have 8 touchdowns on the year. Raheem Mostert, I shortchanged him. He has a receiving one. Raheem Mostert has 12 by himself. All of this is for show. All of this is don't forget about me.
I'm here.
I'm still here, people.
I'm still here.
Throwing during pregame on primetime games. I mean, Mike, you could go do that. You're not going to get behind center and run around and being chased by dudes who want to rip your head off.
No.
Like, he's not playing this year.
You guys remember when Byron Leftwich was in college at Marshall and he got hurt that one game, and so his lineman would physically pick him up and carry him
down the field.
Down the field every play. I mean, maybe we're going to get in that type of position where A-Rod just gets up there, throws a ball, and then the lineman kind of pick him up and walk him down to the line.
They got to be in contention for him to come back.
Is he going to get in one of those passport booths? And he's just going to sit there, you know, the guys who stamp your passport and they look at you like, why are you in this country? And you're like, just on vacation. Like, is he going to get one of those things to play quarterback? Like, what are we doing?
I don't know. Robert Saleh was addressing the media earlier today, and here's what he had to say about that panic button.
I know the knee-jerk reaction to just always hit the panic button, but as a whole, with all the circumstances and you consider all the different things that are happening along the offense in terms of the lack of continuity on the offensive line and those guys trying to get their feet underneath them, he's doing the best he can. But again, he still needs to get better.
All right, so let's compare that with him talking to Michael Kay yesterday.
It's easy, you know, the three people who get drilled and losses as the quarterback, the play caller, and the head coach. That's natural territory. It's our job to go back and look at the tape and to figure out the actual reasons why.
You've got Trevor Siemian in your building. Why not give him a try?
You know, it's like I said, he I don't know. You got me. I'm gonna plead the fifth on all this one in terms of just I kind of explained it, you know, respectfully, obviously.
I mean, I love Michael's tone. Why not give him a try? It's like talking to a kid. Try it.
Yeah.
Try it. Try the chicken.
Try your broccoli.
Just try it. Don't you want to be a big boy, Cage? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, it was.
You want to be strong like the Hulk? Eat your broccoli.
I told Taylor, I'm like,
45 like me.
I'm like, Taylor, if you want to sink threes, you got to eat that broccoli.
Right.
You got to eat your protein.
Steph Curry eats his broccoli.
By the way, I mean, yeah, you can't just have potato chips.
Yes, you can.
Robert Saleh's beard is going to be white by the end of his tenure.
Well, it's going to be that, you know, the Obama picture, like 2008?
When
he got out, you know, how much the presidency ages these guys. I feel like Robert Saleh has aged a decade in this since week one.
Yeah, it's brutal. I watched the three-step drop the other day. Yes, Aaron Rodgers looks good.
Great.
Yes, he's got the supportive shoes on. He's not in a game, people.
Right.
Sit down.
Chris
explained
it well. He explained it well to me this morning. He's like, you're not being chased by anyone. No mobility.
Yeah.
You got to have mobility. Doing a little bit of.
Of course he looks pretty. I mean, of course he looks good out there. He's throwing a football. Yes. Is it great that he can lean into the repaired tendon? Sure, it's amazing. He's not game ready, and they're not going to be in the playoffs, so just sit down. And that poor defense that's playing its brains out.
Yeah.
What a total bummer. What else, Christopher, before Marshall comes on at
11:20? Let's hit. We got a couple lines here.
Colors.
Let's do it, Mike. Let's go to Jimmy in San Antonio. Jimmy!
¿Qué pasó?
¿Qué pasó?
Hey, hola, muchacho.
Hello.
¿Cómo está, señora Suze? How are you?
I'm so well. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. I have to give a shout out to my friend Denise Forestier. Her daughter Ryan just signed her letter of intent to play basketball at USC.
That's awesome. Hey, they are so great. Man. That is baller.
We're going to have a little San Antonio up in LA on the USC women's tip.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. I'm going to bring Taylor to a game because they ball. They are so fantastic. Thanks for the reminder.
Well, I'm a little inebriated because I did a drinking game with Oleg. y'all said his name a lot.
Attaboy.
And so I have a fantasy name, Brockman, Oleg's Backpack of Tricks.
Yep.
That's great.
I like that.
Write it down.
And then, Suze, I need your advice again before I get to Michigan.
Okay.
I'm going to Minneapolis tomorrow for the Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks concert Friday night.
So cool.
Good double bill.
Anybody, bars, restaurants around U.S. Bank, anything good that y'all know of?
Oh, God, quick, hit the Google. Oh. I mean, whenever I've gone in and out, I'm literally in with the team and out the next day. I've never been there for anything other.
It's a hotel bar nearby that was great.
But listen, all of you Rich Eisen Show viewers and listeners out there, help Jimmy out. We need some suggestions. We need some places to wet his whistle. We need some restaurants. We need some suggestions from the community in Minneapolis. Can you help out Jimmy?
It's either high-end food or dive bar. That's the only way I roll.
All right, tweet us at Rich Eisen Show, please. And or, you know, call in.
Let's do it.
Let's put it out there.
All right, Jimmy, enjoy. Thanks,
all right,
bud.
Jim. On to Michigan.
Did we lose
Mike.
Him? On to
Michigan.
On
to
Michigan.
Did you not
on
hear
Michigan.
Him? He was about to talk.
Jimmy.
Heavy finger Del Tufo over there strikes
wow.
again.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Jimmy, call back.
Jimmy, call back.
Justin, Maryland, what do you have, sir?
Hey, guys, how are you?
How are you? Thanks for calling in.
Of course, of course. So as a Jaguars fan, I heard you guys earlier saying that Dougie P should definitely be getting the coach of the year. But I got to be honest, there's nobody consistently coaching their team up to this. So I think sometimes the obvious choice is just the obvious choice, and it's the right choice. You got to give it to Mike this year.
Chris?
Justin, I love that. I predicted Tomlin before the year, and you guys kind of scoffed. And well, I did think that they might win the North, which is a little bit much if you've seen them play offense. But watching this team play, how do they have 5 wins? Coaching. Mike Tomlin does it year in, year out. Look what this guy's dealing with. The struggles offense, but the defense is coming to play, and they just find a way to eke out these wins. And lo and behold, they're 5-3. And firmly in the playoff mix or the 5 seed in the AFC right now, which is nuts considering what they've gotten from production from the running game, inconsistencies with Kenny Pickett and whatever's going on with George Pickens right now, injuries to Pat Freiermuth. Like, it's all Tomlin. This guy could flat out coach, and I'm with you, man.
Justin, thanks again for your time. Thanks for calling in. TJ, what are your thoughts?
On Coach of the Year?
Yeah.
You know, I'm a huge Mike Tomlin fan. I've, you know... But we've talked about this before. I have a lot of friends, you know, obviously from Pittsburgh, in Pittsburgh area. So I hear the stories. A lot of Steeler fans, they get upset with Mike Tomlin. They want to count like, well, we haven't won this many Super Bowls. We haven't won this many playoff games. People have to understand, though, you were in the age and you lived through the age of Belichick and Brady. This is the same reason why Charles Barkley and you know, the Karl Malones and the John Stocktons don't have NBA championships, because Michael Jordan existed. You know, we just lived in an era for this last 20 years where Bill Belichick and you guys, New England Patriots, were around. So just to be able to say you won a championship in that era is a big deal and a big thing to me. So, you know, I'm very pro Mike Tomlin. I'm very team Mike Tomlin. And yeah, that is an excellent point to bring up. But again, Doug Peterson, we didn't mention him earlier. The Jags, what they're doing is pretty great too. It's going to be interesting. We have another half of the season to go. So I'm just looking forward to the second half.
We're going to give our full midseason awards report update when Rich checks in tomorrow. So, okay. You know, that's MVP, rookie of the year. I think we all agree it's CJ Stroud. So defensive player of the year, MVP, we'll redo our Super Bowl, get a little mulligan on our Super Bowl matchups. So tune in tomorrow for that.
What aren't we talking about right now? What are we missing? Like, I think that's my theme of the day. I feel like we're harping on the same things. That's my third good question of the day. I'm not counting, but I just wanted to let you know.
I think Chris touched on this earlier. We don't really, as a whole, not just this show, we don't talk enough about what the Baltimore Ravens have been doing.
Yeah. No kidding. They're quietly balling.
The AFC North Division, right now, if the playoffs started, I think all 4 of those teams would be in the playoffs.
All 4 in. The Ravens are the 2 seed. The Steelers are the 5 seed. The Browns, 6 seed. Bengals, 7 seed.
Which is something a month before the season started, I asked these guys, would I be crazy if I said all 4 of these teams made the playoffs?
I said you were crazy.
And it looked like it could
We're at
happen.
It right now.
TJ, I'm so glad you said that, because I think we spend so much time leading up to this year talking about Lamar and his contract and was he worth it and should they pay him the money and was, you know, with his, what is it, his mom's the manager, mom's the agent.
A lot of disrespect.
That's right.
A lot we don't know. You know, Lamar. Who is he getting advice from someone? Is his mom handling it? Is he handling it? And, you know, kind of wondered what kind of deal is he going to get? Should a team trade for him? Should Atlanta? Should the Jets? Should a mystery team go out and get this guy? And it turns out he waited patiently, got his deal, and here they are. He's an MVP candidate, and they're 7-2. They're arguably the best team playing the best right now in the league.
TJ?
Chris, I just had to echo his sentiments right there. You know, it was Lamar. And also, does anyone realize Lamar Jackson leads the NFL in completion percentage?
Does he really?
Yeah. No one. Another thing no one ever talks about. You hear online, you read online, people say, oh, he can't throw the ball. He can't do this or that. No, check the stats. 71.5%.
Yeah, so he's the most accurate on passes over 10 yards. Yeah. He's really getting it done this year. They have a new offensive coordinator. Again, they're playing great. They're playing running back roulette back there, but Odell finally got involved. First touchdown, and since the Super Bowl.
But he caught it from the backup quarterback
last week,
and not.
Which was kind of weird because it was a blowout, but you know, they're getting it done in every way, and that's kind of typical to a John Harbaugh team and this Ravens team. They just kind of plug along. They mind their business, and there they are at the top of the standings.
And I know earlier I said, like, I think the road goes through Kansas City, which obviously, you know, until someone knocks them off their throne, it does. I am not going to be surprised if we get to Vegas in the Super Bowl and the Baltimore Ravens are on one side of the field as of right now.
Yeah, it's too bad we don't get a Chiefs-Ravens matchup this year, because in the past – they have played some epic battles, and Lamar has played well against that team. And we're, you know, hopefully we cross our fingers, we get that in the playoffs this year.
Mike, do you have the CSI Miami drop, the scream?
Yeah, but I can't play it.
Oh, God, you stink. All right, because I was going to say, you might say it's the tale of two Harbaughs.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Boom, boom.
You're welcome. God, that would have been so much better with the drop. All right, game time, guys. Can we talk about game time?
Oh, please.
Oh, God, you guys. It's so impossible to get my kids to decide what to go to. Because they all have different likes and dislikes, different music
different tastes.
Cooper's got my taste. Xander just, it's a whole hot mess of music. Taylor's pretty good. But, you know, Xander is always beat to his own drum, and that's why I need game time. Mm-hmm. He loves shows. He loves drama. He loves comedy, and he loves music. So I always have to find tickets, and a lot of the time, last minute. So I go on GameTime.co because I basically need to have some flexibility, and I also need to know that I'm not going to get screwed financially. I want to know exactly what I'm going to spend, and I want to know where I'm sitting.
That's the important, right?
TJ, stop me if you've heard this before, but I'm particular.
I've heard
I like to know where I'm going to sit so I can go see my view from the seats and have an idea of where I'm going to be because I've got little ones, you know? Mm-hmm. Although Cooper's 5'10", but that's neither here nor there.
Cooper's a giant.
Cooper's a man-child. So I need to see for Taylor, who's still only 10, I need to see where we're going to sit. And that's why I love game time, because I know that I can see and make sure she's not going to stare at a concrete wall. So download the Game Time app, create the account, use the code RICH for $20 off of your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create that account. Redeem the code RICH for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last-minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. The Hall of Famer, Marshall Faulk, when we come back. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
The football season is underway, and Believe podcasts are talking about it.
When he went home and went to sleep, Michael Parsons was just terrorizing him.
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
And to be only producing 15 points a game, that's something that is definitely disheartening.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
As a quarterback, I would expect him to be acting like that. Take the accountability. Put that on yourself. Don't put it on your teammates.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
Half redneck, half posh, 100% fun. Trey Crowder and Corey Ryan Forrester try and learn fancy culture in putting on airs.
The host of the Medium Popcorn Podcast, Brandon Collins and Justin Brown.
Okay, so Paddington 2 had like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes
as
for
you. You guys ruined that?
Justin came in and like took it down like 2 points because of his rating. That's the time we started getting death threats.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
No,
people worship that movie.
Putting on airs. The podcast is on YouTube and wherever you listen.
Herm Edwards on October 30th, 2002, after a Week 8 loss to the Cleveland Browns.
Ooh.
Here is play to win the game, as told by Victor Newman.
This is great about sports. This is what's the greatest thing about sports, is you play to win. Hello? You play to win the damn game, right? You don't play just to play it. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, get your ass out of here, then retire. Because it matters.
Well done. That's number one. Next up, on October 16th, 2006, after the Cardinals blew a 20-point lead against the Bears on Monday Night Football.
Oh, man.
Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were, as portrayed by Victor Newman.
Bears are who we thought they were, you know? That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the damn hook.
Very good. Very well done. All right, last one for you.
I can feel it. I can feel it.
I'm glad that we got it rolling, because here's the last one.
I can feel it. Oh.
On May 7th, 2002, the famed practice press conference of one Allen Iverson, as recounted by the man who plays Victor Newman, Eric Braeden, hit it.
I mean, listen, man. You're talking about practice, okay? Not a game. It's not a game. Not a game, all right? Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. I know it's important. Yeah, I do. I honestly do. But we're talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice. You're talking about practice, man.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show on the Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger's got the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Marshall Faulk joining us momentarily, coming out of a speaking engagement down in New Orleans, where he's from. Happy to be home for a couple days. He's going to come in next week. He's going to do What the Football with Amy Trask and me in studio next Tuesday.
Yeah. That's going to be great.
I will bring something really delicious. Do we have any poll results on what our bread stuff is?
The poll today, talking about breakfast items, right? So the best breakfast pastry. So I put donut, muffin, croissant, and a bagel. I don't know if bagel's a pastry, but it counts. We eat it for breakfast. Donut, 35%. Bagel, 32%. 22% croissant, 11% muffin.
Nobody likes a muffin?
I like a good muffin.
I like a good
Remember
muffin.
That Seinfeld top of the muffin too?
Well, by the way, I would have gone there for breakfast every single day. Yeah, every single day.
I used to make muffins.
Who doesn't love a muffin?
What kind of muffin do you make?
Usually it was like a chocolate chip muffin or like a...
underrated cinnamon chip.
Do you know the Muffin Man? You're
welcome.
What's
the Muffin Man? That's what my friends used to call me. The Muffin Man. Do you know the Muffin Man?
Do you know the Muffin Man? Taylor's favorite breakfast is chocolate, and she'll barely eat the bread around it.
Just chocolate for breakfast.
Just basically chocolate. I made a delightful chocolate chip banana bread.
Oh, look at you.
Really good. And if I must say so myself... She'll basically pick the chocolate. I made chocolate chip pancakes the other day.
Yep.
She eats the bits with the chocolate. She does not eat the bread around it. I mean, it's ridiculous.
And she's 10.
She's 10. And it's her world, and we're just living in it.
Yeah.
I don't like chocolate in a pancake. Is that wrong?
That's Rich's like go-to breakfast, right? Chocolate chip pancakes?
He makes Daddy's Famous Pancakes every Saturday when he's home. So, yes, he makes a good chocolate chip pancake.
But you don't like chocolate.
I don't eat them. Oh.
So I don't eat chocolate chip pancakes. And you won't partake?
No, that's the whole point, is I get Saturday morning off. So I get up and I'm out the door.
Oh, okay, you're out.
I go walk with my friend Blair every Saturday, like a bunch of old ladies. And we just cook it, and we get in our cardio. We get a beverage of choice. Yeah.
Oh,
We chew our way through.
White or red, that beverage of choice.
I know. Wouldn't that be nice?
But in the morning.
She likes snobby coffee. Oh, okay. And I like a Starbucks. I like a Starbucks. Okay. I like a Stabby's. Yeah, so we have to order from two different places, but we literally, I'm out the door by 8 on Saturdays.
Okay.
That's my time. Rich has to get up. He's got to prepare breakfast and attempt the cleanup. Oh. And when I say attempt, that's all I'm asking. It's just attempt the cleanup, and I'm so grateful, and I love the fact that he, like, gives me my time because I don't have a whole lot of that.
Yeah.
But he's a slob, so I can't imagine cleanup isn't going great.
Well, so stop me if you're surprised.
He's trying, Chris. He's trying.
First of all, and you know, everyone's like, oh, you're so tough on Rich. Like, well, yeah. But also,
yeah.
But I do appreciate the attempt. Pet peeve in life? When people leave things in the sink. Yeah, if there's a dishwasher, what? What are you making that thing for?
No, I'm agreeing with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah,
Marshall Faulk is going to join us now. And Marshall, I'd love to know how you feel about cleaning up after breakfast. Like, do you leave the mess for someone else to clean up, or are you fastidious? And I think you're fastidious.
Suze, I happen to be the person that I clean as I go. So if I use a bowl, I clean it and I put it back. I can't, like, there's just something about the kitchen being messy while I'm cooking. I hate that.
No, and you've spent many a Thanksgiving with us, so you know that, like, I'm cleaning as I'm going. By the way, you're invited back. Chris, not so much. Remember when he came to the house? Remember the year that he came to the house and took all the Tupperware and didn't bring it back and then gift wrapped it for our kids? You wouldn't do that to our children.
Chris, Marshall, I was young and dumb in those days. You remember, I was young and dumb in those days.
It's all good, man. You've grown up. You've grown up.
You've grown up.
Has he, though?
You've matured.
Has he, though?
We're trying.
You look like you're in a grid somewhere. Like, where are you right now? You look like, I'm telling you, for all of our people out there listening on the radio, you look like you're in, like, a Tron video.
Do you want to know where I'm at, Susan?
Yes, please.
Do you really want to know where I'm
at? I always like to know where you are. You know that.
This is perfect. This is perfect, okay? I won't say in what city, although you already know that, but I'm at probably one of your favorite hotels. I'm at the Four Seasons.
Oh. Okay.
Not a 3, not a 2, but a 4. Nicely done. Excellent. Well, I mean, it is funny because the picture of you looks like you're in a video game. Like, there's grids all around you.
I know.
Are you?
Well, I just didn't want people to see that I was making coffee. You see,
cute.
I didn't want people to see. I had my latte this morning. So,
okay.
You know.
So you're ready to go. Do you beignet when you go home? Do you beignet or two? What do you do?
Of course, I have to. I have the Café du Mans. I have to. It is a staple of every time. Every time I have to.
God, will you bring me one or two when you come back?
They just won't be fresh. I can make them, though. I can make them.
What? I've known you for this long, and you're holding out on me all this time?
Man with many talents.
I know you are. Will you bring one on Tuesday for What the Football, please?
I got you.
All right, because I do love the food down there. It's kind of fun. But I remember when I went there for the Sugar Bowl, we went to, what's it, Mother's? Is that
Mother's,
the rest of
like, yeah. Uh-huh.
And we, you know, there was a line around the block. I was with Mike Tirico and Tim Brandt for ABC. And they snuck us in the back. We went through the food lines. And this is like, you know, I used to travel with Zone bars in my bag. And they give me this plate that is the size of this desk. And I can't do the accent down there. But they were like, girl, you need to put some pounds on. So you got to finish your whole plate. And I was like, finish the plate. This would take me like 3 weeks. But God, the hospitality down there was something special.
Oh, we specialize in hospitality.
Yeah, it's kind of great. All right, Marshall, let me just pick your brain at this midpoint of the season of who's of interest to you, because I can't talk about the same stuff over and over again. Who do you like, Marshall? What's interesting to you?
Well, it's not who do I like. I mean, obviously, when you look at it, you're looking at Philadelphia, you're looking at Kansas City, Baltimore. You know, I like when guys say pay me, and then they go out and they play, like Lamar is doing. Like, he's really saying, he's showing his worth, and I like that. But, you know, the surprise, Jacksonville, Detroit. I'm happy to see the two quarterbacks there and what they're doing. You know, Jared Goff got shipped out, and right now he's he's actually leading the team. The job that Brad's doing, Brad was an intern in the PR department for the Rams in St. Louis before he started working in scouting. And now he's the GM building the Detroit Lions. It's so great to see, you know, Brad and Ray Agnew over there, what they're doing. It's just a lot of good things happening in the league.
Wouldn't you want to be a GM someday? You'd be such a good GM.
I don't know, man. I like how people view me and my football knowledge. And I would hate to be John Lynch and you know, you go get Garoppolo and then you go get, you know, you draft Trenton and then before you know it, some sixth round guy end up being quarterback and Brock Purdy. It says you really know what you're doing in this league. You know, it's like Tom Brady. You like the Patriots really knew what they were doing, so they waited until the sixth round of draft and the 199th pick, and now you know he took it and became the GOAT of the league. I just don't want to be that. I enjoy the space that I live in.
Yeah, you enjoy being in the air way too much, Marshall. What the hell's happening in New England? Is this the end of Bill Belichick?
Oh man, that's tough to say. Bill has been such a staple. But I'm a kind of give you an analogy and where I sit. I think Bill is still the coach that he once was. I think he knows as much as he's always known. This league is about players. And for the last 3 to 4 years, Greg Popovich in basketball was not relevant. He was not relevant. But then you get the first overall pick, Victor Wembanyama, and all of a sudden Popovich knows how to coach again. You know, Belichick, when he was in Cleveland, he wasn't relevant. And then he got himself a Tom Brady and he became relevant. Coaches help players. Players make coaches. And that's how it goes.
Chris, you want to jump in?
Yeah. Well, I'm not about the Patriots. You know, it doesn't
he's too
really
depressed.
Matter there. But what do you think about Dallas? I'm sure you watched the end of the Philly game and it's just another big game where they come so very close. Like Dak played so well for 95% of the game, and then it's just two plays at the end seem to kind of define them year in and year out. Like, what are you seeing from them, and do you think they'll ever kind of just take that leap that we're all kind of hoping they eventually do?
Yeah, Dallas is like you know, a husband and a wife that, like, they look good together, but they always fight. And they always fuss and they just can't figure it out, but they look so good together. That's what Dallas is like. And then they have in-laws, and the in-laws want to make all the decisions. That's Jerry Jones. and sometimes those decisions are just not good for the couple. It just does not look like Dak. McCarthy, they just don't look like they go well together. They're never on the same page. That's why I feel the message, the quarterback and the head coach or play caller, there's some synergies between them in situations that you don't even have to think about what he wants. You know what he wants. They always seem to never do. It just doesn't seem like they're on the same page.
Yeah. Tony Pollard, too, doesn't look like what we were kind of expecting coming into this year. Rich was saying...
Tony Pollard looks like Tony Pollard.
Okay.
As a one. Now, you're talking about Tony Pollard the two when they had Zeke. Right. Tony Pollard the one, this is Tony Pollard the one. When he was drafted, if you look at his grades and what they said, Tony Pollard as a one, this is what he looks like.
Would you have liked to have seen them kind of go after Derrick Henry or somebody else at the trade deadline?
Oh, man,
Like, is that the fix for that team? You know, somebody like that? Should they have brought Zeke back? Like, what is missing, I guess?
I don't – the Cowboys, it's not one thing. Listen, here's the reality, okay? When your issue is clock management, like organizational issues, there's a player can't fix that.
So you're saying you think that it's a coaching change?
I don't know if it's a coach. Hold on, wait. You either got to get a quarterback that's on the same page and it's getting the messaging from the head coach or the play caller, or a play caller that's going to have the same messaging as the quarterback. Something is missing with them too. It's like the communication It's just there's always when it goes wrong for Dallas, it always goes wrong with them too. It's something that happens.
You know, you have to wonder about where that's going to go. You have to wonder about what Jerry's priorities are for that. Because it's you can't tell. Sometimes there's tells, don't you think, Marshall? Sometimes there's tells and you kind of see where this is going. But this is a rough one.
It would be scary for me if I was Jerry, because it's hard to tell who's who with them two. Like, I really can't tell. If you gotta, do you move on from Dak or do you move on from McCarthy or do you just sit it out and wait for it to happen?
Marshall, that's
a tough dilemma.
Marshall, in Atlanta, a lot of people are questioning Arthur Smith about, you know, using his best players, specifically Bijan Robinson, who has one, I think, red zone touch this year. What are you seeing with Atlanta? What is going on there? Do you think it's something more? Like, what's your read on the Falcons?
You know, the kid is dynamic. It looks like they got him on a pitch count. I'm like, I don't know if he has some incentives in his contract they're trying to hold him back from, but I have no idea. I've never seen a rookie running back with this much talent not be used. It's baffled me. It doesn't make sense. They had a young quarterback in there, and they were doing things in the red zone that's hard for veteran quarterbacks. Turn around, hand the ball to throw a swing route, put the ball in your playmaker's hands. And he's making plays.
Right.
When you get the ball, he makes plays.
Yeah, he's averaging 2 more yards per carry than Tyler Algier, but Algier has 12-1 red zone touches.
Yeah. That's a smart coach. You know, coaches in today's, you know, I like every coach wants to be responsible. They want to send their package in. They want to design their plays. They want it to be them. And you get caught up in that. You get caught up, you know, Arthur's caught up in his play calling.
Yeah. It's like these guys are decoys for Jonnu Smith and it's just head scratching.
Marshall, a quick question for you here is one of the, obviously the greatest football players to ever play Gold Jacket and a bust. I have a question because Chris and I talk about this after the show quite a bit. With 920 receptions, over 13,000 yards, and 74 touchdowns, why is Torrey Holt not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? This is baffling to us.
I know. It's coming, man. It's coming. Torrey, unfortunately, he played with me. He played with Isaac. And he still put up those numbers. And midway through, midway through the 2000s, early 2000s, the numbers for receivers started to get funny. And when I say funny, it became a pass-happy league in the sense that when I first got in the NFL, if your quarterback threw the ball more than 25 times a game, that was because you were losing. Mm-hmm. And now in the NFL, if your quarterback don't throw the ball 25 times a game, you are losing. So the game has changed. You started having, and I'm not taking no shot at these guys, but you started to have a Wes Welker, a Danny Amendola catching 80, 90, 100, 110 balls. You know, it's like, wow. And you're going to see in a couple of years when those guys start to come up, those numbers are hurting a guy like Torrey Holt, who wasn't the only player on his team. He caught those balls along with the numbers Isaac had, along with the numbers I had. Mm-hmm. So it was prolific, not because of the volume, but because of his body of work. And we won.
Before we let you go, let's ask you about Will Levis. What are your thoughts on the rookie quarterback there?
There's something there. You know, there's something there. And I believe his willingness to push the ball, willingness and ability to push the ball down the field. Here's what's always dangerous. When the receivers are catching the ball with room to make moves and they're coming back excited, whoever the backup quarterback is in trouble. That's a That's a bad sign. That's a bad sign. When that communication between the quarterback and the receivers on the sideline, the hand gesturing, the here's where I'm gonna be, here's where, that's a bad sign if you're the starter and this and Will is the backup. It's easy to see.
If you had to come back for a game, Marshall, who would you want to play with right now?
Ooh.
I would want to play with obviously Kansas City, and not because of Patrick Mahomes, but just because I love the creativity that Andy Reid, he, for his players, the motions, the shifts, the play, like what they do, it's fun. And I love the fact that, yes, it's about winning, but you want to have fun. I enjoy that. And then the dude is just so cool. I mean, when I came out, I didn't want to go to Cincinnati, but I go to Cincinnati to play with Joe Burrow. But he's just so damn cool, man. He's just so cool, I'm telling you. I love his swag.
Yeah.
When he's healthy, is he the best quarterback out there?
I wouldn't say the best, because the best, you know, you have to put a lot of things into that. He's the scariest. Like, he's the freaking Reaper. He will go into Cincinnati and rip your heart out. He will go into any stadium. It does not matter. Buffalo, he'll rip your heart out. Like, he is the Reaper of the league. Nobody wants to see Burrow in the playoffs. Like, it's like, oh, damn, we got Joe. Nobody wants him in the playoffs.
You do look like you're in a Minecraft video.
Thank you.
Right? Don't you think, guys? I think so. It looks like a little bit like Minecraft.
I thought he was in the bathroom, honestly, when wow. I first popped up.
Like, Marshall
the bad time.
We love you.
Marshall,
thanks again.
Best.
Take your time down there.
There's no
Have
bad
fun.
Time for the Rich Eisen show when Susie Schuster is hosting.
Yeah.
That's just
so. Amen.
That's what I wanted Amen. You to say. You know me so well. Thank you for that. Love you.
Thanks,
See you
Marshall.
Next Tuesday. Fly safe.
I have a belly.
Make me
a
beignet. You know, bring enough for all of us, is what I'm saying.
I like a beignet. Have so you good. Had a real
oh,
New Orleans gosh. Beignet?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Cafe Dumont.
We're going to get one
Every
next
morning,
year.
During the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, next year's Super Bowl.
Is that where it is?
Cafe Dumont.
Yeah. Islands.
Oh,
that'll be beignet out.
That is going to be some week.
Are you kidding me?
That is going to be bananas.
Don't die that week, please.
He might be working
That's
a basketball game
no,
for
no, no,
Fox.
No, no, no,
That's
my
true. You're taking off.
That's gonna be my last Fox Super Bowl. Week? I think.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's my retirement on Sundays.
It's all about Mike.
I know. Let's just talk more about his schedule.
You mentioned it to me. We mentioned my name. Of course, it's about me. Thank you, Susan.
Why do I feel like my nephew is
the Taylor of the family? So I get what Taylor
you are. That's true.
That's true. You're the baby.
I'm the baby. I get it.
My nephews Jack and Sam are coming out to the Super Bowl in Vegas. Why do I feel like they're going to find a way to be at the one in New Orleans? Right.
Of course.
Yeah. Let's take a break. We're going to close up this edition of the Rich Eisen Show when we come back. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for Rich. Auf Wiedersehen, darling. Chris, before we close shop, headlines, please.
Have a croissant.
No.
Or two.
Or beignet.
Wait, is this TV only?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think so.
This is TV only.
It's TV only.
So we'll save the headlines for the radio.
We'll save that. Okay.
We'll save the headlines for the radio.
Let's talk croissants.
You're very bossy. I love Marshall Faulk. I'm not afraid to say
he
it.
The best. So,
yeah.
He's like, I always say he's my other husband.
He was there a couple of Thanksgivings when I was there.
He was.
Yeah.
He's been to several.
I think 2 years in a row. Well,
yeah.
I think I was there, what, 11, 12, 13? No, 12 and 13?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Maybe 14.
All right, more Tom Brady news with Victor Wembanyama. show this picture up, please. So remember we saw this, and they had dinner last night. Uh-huh. In fact, Joe
Biden, that's on Tom's Instagram.
And now look what happened when he updated the photograph.
Edelman takes a stray.
This is so great.
So Edelman's going to say, like, he's going to snap back at Tom Brady.
So then everyone was like, oh, can we use this picture? So they're reaching out to Tom.
So Brady puts
so
this picture
Tom
up.
So then Tom photoshopped it. He's like, you can use this one.
Disregard the other picture.
Tom's got some mad skills.
He's
at
taller
the,
than Wemby in
that
this
is
picture.
So good.
And the jaw. He's got the whole thing happening. He's got the hair gel in.
That's amazing.
Is amazing.
He's definitely wider across. I mean, you know, I'm just saying.
Tom Brady seems like he might be fun to kick it with, man.
Yeah, I think.
Do you think? I don't know.
Legendary beer drinking stories from his early Pats days.
Yeah, but the early Pats days, the PG and AG, pre-Giselle, after Giselle.
Sure.
I don't know. Seems like I don't want to hang out with somebody who can't eat sugar.
But he's
Do you think he drinks wine?
He's different now.
Yeah.
He's not playing. He's not training for anything.
Yeah, what does he drink?
I don't know.
Let's find out. Sugar. Let's find out.
I imagine that Michael Rubin and him probably got after last night.
Oh, you think?
You know
can't Rich get in on that? That would give us some really good fodder, some good gossip, right?
Can we just text Michael Rubin?
Should I go into Rich's DM and be like, what's up, TD? TB? Like, what's up? It's Rich. And see if he wants to have dinner?
Absolutely.
Tell him the new phone. Who this?
Closing up this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, Susie Schuster. And I'm here tomorrow.
Hey, Susie.
Hey.
I'm just saying hi, guys. Hi.
Are we? So it's to Mimosa Thursday tomorrow?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I think we should do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
I mean,
popping bottles.
Don't wait for Andrew to bring it, but like, whatever.
Susie.
I do love Andrew.
Why did he need to take a stand?
I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, Susie does got a point. We have various
guests. I cracked myself up.
Yeah, you gotta bring stuff. None of them bring us anything.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just
saying.
You're
a guest, right? If
it's like but they're doing us a favor.
He's awesome. He knows a lot more about football than I do.
We could have Susie sit in all the time.
Poor Andrew. He's a little bit of a, he's like, so this is what it's like being married to Susie. Oh, God, poor Rich. Can we have some headlines, Chris?
Yeah, some headlines. Receiver news, Justin Jefferson. He's great, hasn't played in a while. The Vikings are going to open his practice window this week, so they have 21 days to activate him. His initial timetable was 4 to 6 weeks on the hamstring. That would put a week 10 return a little bit early, so it could be a week or two for Justin Jefferson. And now Josh Dobbs, their quarterback. Game tomorrow, Thursday Night Football, Bears and Panthers. Mm-hmm. Try to stay awake. Justin Fields, thumb injury, dealing with that thumb still. He's doubtful. So it looks like another week of Tyson Bagent.
Wow.
On primetime.
Actually, Chris, you know, this game does have some draft pick ramifications.
That's true.
But not really. I mean, it's kind of lose-lose because the Bears have the Panthers pick.
Yeah, that's true. It doesn't matter whether or not.
So, see, this is why Andrew needs to come back in because I don't remember that.
The Panthers should win. That gives other two-win teams a chance to kind of move up a little
bit. That's what I'm saying.
If they
this
lose.
Could
so
maybe
that's,
move a piece.
So Patriots, who else? Patriots, Giants, they're all rooting for, who else? Broncos have 3 wins. So Giants and Patriots are rooting for the Panthers.
Brandon in St. Louis, do you have some recommendations for Jimmy, please, for places to go in Minneapolis?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's this place called Maxwell's American Pub. It's about a 3-minute drive. So knowing Jimmy, he likes to get after it a little bit early. Probably take an Uber there. A couple more things, Susie, if I could.
Please.
So I called about a month ago. No, I didn't call a month ago. My dad passed a month ago.
Yeah.
I just called to thank Rich for just providing a good distraction for me because this past month has just been a blur.
Sorry.
Sorry, buddy.
And then, thanks. And then I was going to tell Del Tufo, too, besides, you know, how jealous I am that he went to U2 in the Sphere in Vegas.
thank you.
I think he mentioned something about Fleetwood Mac's The Dance being an album that you play.
Yes.
When you mix or try, you know, test out new sound equipment or whatever. My dad had that on cassette. We played the crap out of it. So, yeah. So that's always a good memory. But yeah.
What was his favorite Fleetwood Mac song? What was your dad's favorite?
He played bass, so he liked The Chain a lot. So it's always good memories. Just bring when cue up some of my dad's old tunes. So.
Yeah, I know how it feels. I lost my dad a couple years ago, and I know if you go to Rich's Twitter. He has a video of him reacting after his dad passed. So we're with you, and we're sending you our love, and we want to say thank you for calling in.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Susie.
Thanks, Brandon. Be
absolutely
all Brandon.
My pleasure. You know, we talked about it with Caleb Williams, that relationship that you have with your mom that a lot of men have with their dads. It's special. And, I'm always grateful. Rich is a great dad. There's many things that can drive me insane about him. And being a great dad, that is not one. And I love the fact that you were able to say that you missed your dad. I don't think that's weak. I think that's real. And I think it's okay. That is such positive masculinity. Yeah. Being able to show your feelings and being in control of them and being able to be raw and honest, that's great. I'm so glad that you felt that you could call in and talk about that. So thank you. Anyway, guys, I'm back tomorrow.
All right.
How's that for a segue? Let's talk about sexiest men tomorrow, shall we? Because I think
Tomorrow we're going to talk about sexy men?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's the whole
you
show
start now?
Dedicated to Del Tufo? So,
yeah, I was just going to say.
Look, boys, listen.
Next to Del Tufo listen, every day.
A Kelsey brother is up for sexiest men.
I saw that.
And it's not who you think it is. Mm. So I'm just saying, what if we were to put you guys in the different magazine covers?
Let's do it.
Yeah. Long over, I have ideas and Smitch and I are talking.
Uh-oh.
I'm just saying. So don't miss the show tomorrow,
Jason, you
people. I think we have Eli Manning on. And if we don't, I'm going to be so bummed out because we need to talk about donkeys.
Donkey.
Donkey.
We need to talk about donkeys. Can't wait to see you guys tomorrow. From everybody here at the Rich Eisen Show, we say thank you. Have an amazing Wednesday.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form.
We have Michael Azarad, who was Nirvana's very first biographer. I'm not sure how many people realize how many of the best songs on In Utero were written way beforehand.
To be fair to Kurt, he was also a new father. There was a lot of stuff distracting him. It wasn't just drugs, although that was certainly a major factor.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.